We're studying the book of Joshua, claiming your Canaan. Joshua and the children of Israel are going to cross over tonight, cross over the river Jordan. And God told Joshua to do some very interesting things as they crossed over. And this is kind of going to go with this morning's message on Father's Day, because it's a good message for children and for us to on teaching our children. So some of the things will really intersect. I love when God does that, but with this morning's message. We'll read the entire chapter, okay? Just read along with me. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passeth over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they are lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over. I love that. Clean passed over, man. They were clean passed over. That the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the midst of the people. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, and as Moses commanded, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that they bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded up the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. By the way, interesting fact right there. The 10th day of the first month, 40 years to the day when they slew the Passover lamb. Because God started the calendar. He said this is going to be the 10th day of the first month. You remember? So this was 40 years exactly. And you can check that out at Exodus 12 and verse 3. And verse 20 now. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time, saying, what mean these stones? Then shall ye let the children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, dried up from before us until we were gone over. Now here's the key right here. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. See, God always has a missionary message. And this is just kind of a side note, but one of the reasons why he did this is so the world would know that this God is different than their gods. And so it was to be a witness to the world, not just to these people and to their children, but to the world. Let's pray. Father, bless your word, the preaching of it now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So when all the people passed over, Joshua commanded for one man from each tribe to take 12 rocks, one each, out of there and set it up for memorial on the Canaan side, on the east side of the or the west side of the Jordan River, as a memorial. He uses two words here. In verse 6, he uses the word sign, and in verse 7, he uses the word memorial. A sign is a distinguishing mark or a banner or an ensign or a flag. It points to something as being significant. A memorial, something that serves as a reminder, a monument. How many of you like going to monuments and memorials? I like doing that. I like going. I like seeing monuments and memorials. When we went to England in January, we went to a lot of the World War II stuff and the monuments they have set up there. And they do that so that people will remember. A lot of times it's good stuff. I even saw a monument to Hitler in right off Piccadilly Square. I mean, I know what it's there for. We whooped him, you know. But as a reminder that, yes, but I like doing that. There's monuments. You know, we need monuments to God. We need monuments to God. We're going to be talking about that tonight. But as Christians, we need monuments. I'm not talking about national monuments. That wouldn't be wrong, nothing wrong with that, I guess. But somebody tear it down for sure. But as far as living our Christian lives, we need things that we can point to our children and show this is how God worked in our lives. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So first of all, what were the purpose of the stones? Well, he said, set them up so when the children say, what mean ye these by these stones? Now, why would he say that? Because kids ask questions like that, don't they? I mean, don't you know Gilgal was a place they went back to quite often, especially during the Joshua campaign. They would go back to Gilgal. And Gilgal, the word Gilgal means that the reproach has been rolled away. And it literally means the reproach of Egypt has been rolled away. And so there was a place there. And the kids would say, Mommy, Daddy, what are those big 12 big stones piled up over there? Well, that was one reason why, to teach the children. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, let's just turn back there, hold your finger there and go to Deuteronomy 6. God had commanded the children of Israel to teach their children. And he commands us to teach our children, doesn't he? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. They shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. God said, I want you to teach your children, and to do it diligently. New Testament, he instructs fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How do you do that? By teaching them the Word of God. So we're to teach our children the Word of God, and we're to do it diligently. And so he had told them to teach the Word of God. So this was a visual way that they could teach them. It was a visual way to teach their children. What did the stones teach? Well, they taught the blessings of obedience and faith. They taught that what God had done was a blessing. God told them to pass over the Jordan. They obeyed God, and what God said, I want a monument to my power in your life, that what happens when you obey. You know, we need to look for opportunities, and there are plenty of opportunities, I think, as we live our Christian lives, how we can teach our children the blessings of obedience. For instance, as families, as children, you need to set your children down, and you know, as when they're old enough to understand that when you tithe your income, when you give of your income, how God takes care of your needs. And teach your children as young as they, I mean, when they start getting money, if Grandpa sends them a $10 bill, teach them to tithe off of that, because blessings, they see blessings of obedience from your life. That's one area, just giving, and that's a huge area. I remember teaching our children to tithe and give, and the joy that they had in their lives when they give, and things like that. And then the blessings, think about the blessings when you obey authorities. God tells us to obey authorities. You know, that's a blessing. When you obey authorities, you can teach your children. See that guy get pulled over? He's breaking the law. We keep the speed limit because, why? Well, there's blessings because we don't have to pay the state of California any more money than they already get from us. And there's blessings in my insurance not going up, you see? There's blessings in obedience. And that's what I'm saying. Just look for everyday opportunities to teach them. We teach them a blessing of hiding God's word in their heart and having victory over temptation. We teach them the blessings of serving the Lord and putting others before them. And as you serve the Lord and you do that, God gives you opportunities to teach your children the blessings of obedience. So one thing I think it taught was the blessings of obedience. Another thing it taught was the power of God to deliver them. He says, verse 7, "Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the Lord, of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." In other words, the stones were there to demonstrate the power of God. Where'd these stones come from? What's these stones mean, Mommy, Daddy? I'll tell you what they mean. These stones came from the Jordan. And God, when we crossed over, God stopped the waters. I mean, listen, kids, it was the time of the year where water was flowing way over here. And God just stopped it. I mean, our God is a powerful God. Our God can do miracles. And so it was an opportunity to teach them on the power of God. Listen, they were in Gilgal. They set up the stones in Gilgal. There wouldn't be a Gilgal if God wouldn't have acted on their behalf. They would never made it to Gilgal. So that's a good lesson they can teach them. Another lesson they could have taught was the unity of God that they should have. You notice how many stones there were? There wasn't 10. There wasn't 11. There were 12. 12 stones, one from every tribe, and made one monument. And don't you know they each looked alike? You ever found two stones that looked exactly alike? I don't think there is. By the way, these weren't little stones. I don't think they were little rocks. I think they were huge, big enough to make a monument, right? I mean, if they were just little, nobody would ever see that. But I think they were big. I think they were huge, big stones. I know when we were in Israel, one thing Israel has, that's stones, man. They've got rocks. That's a rocky place. So I think they were big rocks, and it proved the unity. And the application for us, I think, is God wants unity in the church. There's unity through diversity in the church. And we're unified through Jesus Christ. We all are different. We all have different gifts, but when we strive together for the unity of Christ, like God tells us to, and there's unity in the church, though we're different, though we come from different backgrounds and we're all different, in Christ we're one. In Christ we're one. And when you're serving and using your gifts and you're using your gifts and I'm using my gifts, there'll be unity in the body of Christ. And then I think it taught the guarantee of God's future blessings. In other words, this God had brought him over victoriously over the Jordan once. He's going to prove himself faithful in the future. He'd done it. Remember, look what he said in verse 23. He says, "As the Lord God did at the Red Sea." See, they pointed back to that. God had done it once before. Now he does it again. He may not split the water again like this, but I'm telling you, God works miracles. And we can look back on our lives and see where God worked before and know that the same God is going to work again in our lives. God's powerful, and he promised some future blessings. Then I think, as I said a minute ago, it was a testimony to the true God and testimony to the world of the true God. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. In other words, they were to be his witnesses. Israel was to be God's witnesses to this world. They failed in that. They failed in that. Did you know that they failed miserably in that? And they're still failing in that. And you know, we send missionaries now to Israel. We pray for Israel, but our prayer for Israel ought to be that they might be saved. They might come to the knowledge of the truth. But now the church is God's witnesses. We the saved are God's witnesses to this world. And that all the world, God still wants all the world to know the truth of the gospel. And that's why we do what we do with getting the gospel out to all the world. Okay, so that's one of the some of the things. Now, there's pictures. I don't know if you noticed that, but there's two different sets of stones. Did you get that? As we read through, there's a set of stones in Gilgal, and then there's a set of stones in the river. I don't know if you got that or not, but it's there. In other words, the first set, verses 6 through 8, and then verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they're there unto this day. So there were stones up over here where they were going to camp, but there were stones down in the river. And Joshua himself was the one that put them there. Right where the priests were standing, holding the Ark, as the people passed by. God told Joshua, put a set right there. So there's two sets of 12 stones. Now this is interesting. What's pictured here? This is just such an awesome picture of the victorious Christian life. The stones in the river pictured that the old life is now dead. You see, he put the stones in the river. Then what happened? When he got up out of the river, what happened? The river flowed over. Who knew the stones were there? Well, the children knew, but who else? Only God could see them. You know, our life is hid with Christ in God. Did you know tonight that when we got saved, the old man died? You know, he's alive, but he's actually dead too. The old man is dead. We have been crucified with Christ. We're going to look at that verse in just a minute. But it pictures the old life has been buried. The old life, the Egypt life, the wilderness life, the disobedient life. It's there. It's pictured in the river by those stones. Our old life was buried with Christ and rose again with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, one of my favorite passages of all the Word of God. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? There it is. Baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So our salvation, we are pictured. When you got saved, what happened was what Jesus Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago became ours. He died to sin on that cross. He died for sin, but He also died to sin. And we died with Him. We were there with Him. And we went down into the grave with Him and we rose again with Him. Praise God for that. That's what and it's pictured in water baptism. It's pictured in water baptism. Water baptism doesn't save us. It's a picture. It's an obedience, of course, but it's a picture of what God did for us in salvation. You're standing there in the watery grave and you're pictured with Christ on the cross and then buried with Him and rose to walk in newness of life. And so just as our life was buried with Jesus Christ in His death, so those stones were buried in the Jordan River. And it's a wonderful picture of our salvation. So it pictures that the old life is crucified with Him. And it also pictures their faith. Their faith. You know, faith pleases God. And there again, God saw their faith. And only God could see those stones. And faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it pictures that, the stones there. And another interesting fact about the stones being there, Joshua was the one that put them there. Right? He didn't tell the guys to set up these. It says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan. Now who's Joshua? Joshua is the Old Testament Jesus, right? In other words, Jesus, Joshua means Jehovah is salvation, and so does Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus is salvation. So, only Jesus could do what He did with us. Only Jesus could save us. Only He could crucify the old man. Only He could die on that cross for our sins. I could die on 100,000 crosses, but I could never die for the sins of the world. Only He could do that. So Joshua, by himself doing it, pictures Jesus Christ saving us by Himself. Praise God. Then the stones on Gilgal. They picture the new life. So the old life is pictured in the river. The new, the stones in the new on the ground over here where they were camping pictures the new life, victorious life, and on the march. God, Christ not only died for our sins, but he arose, the Bible says, for our justification. He's alive, and so are we. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Some of you could probably quote this verse, but Galatians chapter 2. Let's look at Romans 6 first. Romans 6, and then we'll go over to Galatians. Romans 6, we read the first four verses. Look at verse 10 and 11. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word reckon there isn't like we used it back in Missouri when I was growing up. You know, because somebody would say, you coming over for supper tonight? I reckon. That meant, I don't know. I may be there and I may not. That's not the Bible word for reckon. Reckon in the Bible is a bank keeper's term. It means count it to be so. Likewise, count it to be so. Reckon it. Put it down that we in Christ are dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the new life. It's true. Whether you feel alive tonight or not, if you're saved, you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, who we identify with? Do we identify with the old man? You see, when we sin, we identify with the old man. Wait a minute, the old man's dead. Why do we go back there? That's why he goes on in Romans chapter 6. He says, therefore, yield yourselves, your members, hands, feet, eyes, ears, mouth, all of that, yield them unto God, not don't yield them to the old man. We don't serve that anymore. He's dead. Leave him alone. Reckon him to be dead, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how does that play out in our daily lives? Well, Romans chapter 8 says that we, by the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh. So when the old man rears his head up, and he does he not? Anybody have a problem with the old man other than me? Oh yeah, the old man rears his head up. You say, Jesus, by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, put him to death. And he does. We reckon it to be so. Lord, I'm not going to go there. That's not me anymore. I am the new man. I'm not the old man. I'm the new man. The old man was back here. And the devil will say, yeah, but you used to. Yeah, but the devil, tell him like the song says, my sins are gone. I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, I can live victoriously in him. So the stones in the river pictured the old man being dead. The stones on the side pictured the new man walking victoriously in Christ. Now, what are some practical lessons that we can get? Well, good works are worth remembering and recording. I think it's important that we keep some kind of a journal. I don't know if you journal or keep records or whatever, but I think it's important that we write down when God does things wonderful for us. I write just little things oftentimes, but you know, somebody's going to read that one of these days. Maybe. Maybe my kids will read that one of these days. You know what? That could build their faith. You know what? Pastor Rogers left a book in this library back there about some of the victories here in years gone by. You know, that encourages my heart. That encourages my heart. There, you know, he struggled. He shares some of his struggles in there. And that encourages my heart to see. He says, hey, so-and-so came by and I was able to lead him to Christ, and we had just pastor stuff, you know, and it just encourages my heart. I think we ought to write down and record God's work in our lives, how he answered prayer. You know, if you got a prayer list, write down over here when God answered it or something like that. Pass it on to our children. Write your obituary before you die. Think about that, right? You ever thought about that? I'm not talking about literally writing it out. If you wanted to do that, so that's fine, but I'm talking about the way you live, you're writing your obituary. And that's something I believe when God works, we can record it. Secondly, God's commands to remember what he does points to our natural tendency to forget. Can I get a witness? The older I get, the more I forget. Is anybody else? I understand. I get it. Okay, but you know, somebody says, would you pray for me? I'm saying, yeah, right. Hang on. And I'm writing it down because I'm going to forget. I'll remember this. Karen, somebody told me to pray for them. Well, I don't like just somebody prayers, you know. I don't like you praying for somebody in the church prayer when I ask for prayer. So we forget, but there's a natural tendency for us to forget. And the children of Israel, over and over again, were told, remember. He told them in the book of Deuteronomy, when you get into the land and this happens, remember this. Remember how God worked. Over and over again, he's telling them because we tend to forget things. So we need to be told to remember. Remembering what God has done in the past also helps us in the present. The Old Testament accounts of faith, of what God did for these people, encourages our heart that God can do them for us. You know, the same God that caused the children of Israel to walk through on dry ground is our God. Amen. We serve the same God. It's not a different God. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, speaking of the New Old Testament, written for our learning, that we should through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we study the Old Testament because it gives us illustrations, oftentimes, of New Testament truth. Another thing is, we need to make instructing the next generation a priority. As I said this morning, parents are commanded to teach the children. Psalm 78, they were commanded. He reminded them, they commanded to teach the children, but they didn't obey it. He says, don't be like the children of Ephraim, remember? Being armed, they turn back in the day of battle. And we need to, every generation is just one generation away from departing from the faith. That's why I got those kids down here this morning. They're worth the fight. They're worth the fight. They're worth us pouring our lives into them, because one of these days we're going to leave. And God's going to, they're going to walk on with the Lord with what we've given them. And we need to build a good foundation for them. You know, some of us, as us older saints, and as I say that, include myself in that, as we make preparations of what to do with our assets, what maybe little we have, when we die. That's okay to do that. But what about the knowledge of God's Word? Have you passed that on? Have you passed that on? Have you imparted that to your children and to grandchildren? Don't die with it. Pass it on. Pour your life into that next generation. Pour your life. It's scriptural, by the way, that the Bible teaches that. We're to teach one another. Teach someone that so they can teach another one also. It's scriptural for the older women to teach the younger women. It's scriptural for us to pass it down to the next generation. And we need to do that. It's fine that we've prepared things for them. And, hey, listen, when I'm gone, this is going to be yours and this is going to be yours. And I want to tell you something. Paintings and money and stuff like that's going to burn up. But I want to tell you what Bible you put into their heart and how you teach them to walk with God. That will not burn up. That'll go on forever and lead them on forever. And then I think that another application for us is that God has given us visual applications. God has given us visual applications very similar to this. You know what they are? They're baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are visual applications. These are visual things that we can see done. I don't know how many times I've baptized and came out and had somebody tell me, you know, I need to get baptized. Why? Because they just saw someone do it. And it encouraged them to do it. It's a visual sign of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a time when the church gathers together to remember what He did. You know, we celebrate Christmas, His birth, but He never told us to do that. We celebrate resurrection, but He never told us to do that. You know what He told us to do? Celebrate my death. That's what He said. He said, this do in remembrance of me, of what I did. And He gave us the wine, the fruit of the vine, and the bread that speaks of His body, and it preaches the Lord's death till He comes. So He's given us things that to speak about the victorious Christian life. He's taught them things. And I think something neat, just a side note that I think about, because I try to read the Bible with imagination. I think when they were, you know, when they went on vacation, the children of Israel, they go down there. Let's go camp out at the monument. So or let's go down there and have a picnic. So they're down there picnicking, and they're eating their, almost said ham sandwiches. they probably weren't eating ham sandwiches. turkey sandwiches or whatever they were eating. Okay, very kosher, whatever they were eating. Okay, I'm going to have a ham sandwich. But anyway, they're sitting there and they're eating. And, you know, their parents could say, hey, this is what these stones mean. But I want to tell you something. See that river over there? Yeah, Daddy. There's a set of stones in there too. What are they there for? Well, that teaches that the old life that we lived in Egypt is where we suffered. That's dead. Where we were wandering in disobedience like our fathers. That's dead. That's the old life, you see. So I think that it was just there for them to teach their children. What mean ye these stones? We ought to have things in our lives that point to God's working in our lives as we live our Christian life. God, hey, listen, if you're living by faith, God will give you things. As you live for Christ, God gives you things where the Lord speaks to your heart. The Lord does a work and He provides just at the right moment, just like He does. Write it down. Teach your children. What an awesome opportunity to just pass it on to the next generation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight.